Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mania Mania! Welcome to Mania Mania 27. I am your host, Terry the Viper Catlett, here as always with the best tag team partner in the universe, Alberto Del Rio's personal announcer, Zhui Holtz.
Yeah!
And today we are going to review for you WrestleMania 27. Zhui, hit us up with what's happened in the last year.
All right. So at the 2011 Royal Rumble, yes, Alberto Del Rio won the very first...
Alberto Del Rio!
Exactly.
I just liked it.
It's fun. He won the first ever 40-man Royal Rumble.
Why did they have 40 men?
I don't know.
Okay.
But they had a lot of...
Did they have 40 men on the roster?
They had a lot of nostalgia acts.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe Diesel came back. It wasn't Kevin Nash. He was Diesel.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in it for that match.
I may go back and check that out just to see what the roster was. That's pretty interesting.
Then he challenged Edge for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
Also, on the February 14th episode of Raw, The Rock was announced as guest host of WrestleMania.
Now, they didn't start doing this until just then. Like, we're now having like these hosts, like,
yeah, like they had guest hosts of Raw a lot.
Okay.
So I think they were like, oh,
this is like the trend now.
Yeah.
This is, okay.
So, and then on February 21st, there was like vignettes leading up to the 21st of February, and it was like, oh, who's it gonna be? Mm-hmm. And then like, they show on the screen like Undertaker walking out of like some cabin, and then like, oh shit, the Undertaker, and then the Undertaker comes back. As soon as he comes in the ring, I think he might pick up a microphone, or like he's about to take his hat off,
right?
And then the game's music hit, so just Triple H comes out. It's like, boom, time to play the game. So then that sets up their match at for WrestleMania as well.
Right.
And like, that was one of my favorite favorite entrances, or not entrances, but like announcements for a WrestleMania match, because
right,
neither of them were there, and then just all of a sudden they're both there and like, hey, we got a match.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the way they built the feud a little bit, in because it made sense that, hey, both these guys have done everything,
yes,
but beat each other. So like, mm-hmm, the streak is now Front Street, like,
yeah,
it's the big thing. The Undertaker, mm-hmm, has no more legacy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will remember a championship he ever won,
yep,
or anything.
Nobody gives a shit about it.
Yeah, it's the streak or nothing. And
yeah,
so I like the angle that they set up where the game's done everything. I've, mm-hmm, had every title, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
I like that too.
But I'm taking the streak.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I like that set. To me, I need no more.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
That's a good yeah, storyline. And then also, John Cena won the Elimination Chamber in February to get the number one contender slot for the, okay, WWE Championship against The Miz.
Now, because I hadn't been watching at this point in time, The, mm-hmm, Miz is the WWE Champion at,
yeah,
this time.
Yeah, he is, yep.
Do you know why?
No.
And it's fair if you don't.
Yeah,
I just,
not
like, because he was pretty new.
Yeah.
He's having kind of a Cena-esque rise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're giving him a lot of...
Yeah, a lot,
big,
pretty quickly.
A big push early.
Yeah.
I know they're capitalizing on his MTV fame.
Yep.
And did he go through Tough Enough?
Yes, he was the Tough Enough $1 million Challenge.
Okay, so he had been on many platforms,
mm-hmm,
and so he had a lot of visibility to,
yes,
people outside maybe the wrestling world,
mm-hmm,
and so I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
At this time, did you feel like he was like a competent contender in the ring? Like, was he able to do a match? Because I was surprised that, just looking at the card,
mm-hmm,
that he was the main event,
yeah,
or in the main event.
I think he's much better in the ring than people give him credit for. He can't, at this point in time, he should not have been in the main event of WrestleMania, in,
right,
my opinion. But a lot of it definitely is based on his visibility, like you,
okay,
said, and his character, because he's easy to hate. The character that he put,
okay,
out is very easy to hate.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to more of that as we get to the main event tonight.
Yeah.
But we can't do that until I set the stage for WrestleMania 27. Here it goes. It's April 3rd, 2011. We're in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia, WCW territory.
Yeah, we are.
A lot of Southern wrestling fans, and I think that plays a big role,
mm-hmm,
in the success of this WrestleMania, because there are 71,616 of them jam-packed in there to see this huge event. We open live on a shot of all of these people going nuts, and then Carrie Hilson sings America the Beautiful. I don't know who that is.
Me neither. I want to say American Idol.
Okay. Well, good luck to her on her career. I hope we hear from her again, because it sounded fine.
Yeah.
It, you know, there you go. It's done. Yeah. And then we do our usual opening package that kind of seems like the introduction to a late-night talk show. I kept expecting them to introduce Jimmy Fallon yeah. or Seth Meyers or something like that. But instead, they introduced The Rock.
Ooh.
And The Rock comes out mm-hmm. and talks to the crowd.
As he does.
As he does, because he is the host of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
What did you think of this kind of start to WrestleMania? Because this was about a 15-minute open.
Yeah.
Where he's just kind of hyping up. Like, to me, it reminded me of like a kind of a general Raw show.
Yeah.
But, I agree. And now, although I didn't really care for the crowd work or any of that stuff, the crowd was totally into it. Mm-hmm. So. But what did you think of just kind of like this open, this kind of cold open?
I did notice when I was watching, I'm like, man, how long is this going? So I paused it to check the time, and it was like 14 and a half minutes in. Yep. I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, this, it's too much. It was too much. I know that The Rock is over. He's over as all hell, so I guess he deserves it. But at the same time, like, you got to know when to get out, too. Like,
right, but yeah, I mean, like, he is the – I thought it was unusual that instead of a match, we're selling a – persona
yes.
for this WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's about The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he was over with the crowd there. I just don't know how that really translates to yeah. the viewer at home. And
right.
then this many years later, you're going, oh, all right, yeah, I remember The Rock.
Yeah, okay, all right.
No, yeah, the cooking and yeah. the all of it. Yeah. yeah, I'll show my yeah. – I know my role. I'll yeah. set it. Yeah, cool.
Right, yeah, it doesn't matter what I think. It's fine, yeah,
where's
yeah.
that wrestling
yeah.
that I like? right?
Yeah.
So he finishes with his bit, and then we do another promo for WrestleMania. We basically get to where it's about 30 minutes before someone actually throws a punch.
Yeah.
But, hey, we finally get to the match, and it's match number one, which is between
– Alberto Del Rio with Brodus Clay and Ricardo Rodriguez versus Edge with Christian.
And this is for the World Heavyweight Championship. What did you think with them starting off with a big title match right up top?
I like it because it separates the two titles, so you get weight and gravity
okay.
For the matches, and it's separated. So yeah. like you can get the real high important match up top, and then it can dip down a little bit before you go back up. So there's hills and valleys instead of getting like, oh, this is really high, and then this next match is also just as important as the previous match.
Right. No, I like the big stakes up top, and I like the match between these two as well. So I'm glad they kind of started off with this one. We didn't have the Money in the Bank
right.
to go to. And did yeah. they just make that another pay-per-view?
They made it another pay-per-view, yeah.
Damn, because I started to like that.
Yeah, me too.
Alberto Del Rio arrives in a Rolls Royce, and with a car that nice, I thought he should have a driver
yes.
instead of just driving himself,
yep.
especially because he's already got two guys in the ring.
Yeah.
One of them could have, I don't know.
Yeah, Ricardo Rodriguez could be his personal yeah. driver as well.
Drives it right into the ramp, makes a nice entrance, and then they go to the announcing crew, and you see that Michael Cole is in a glass box.
Yep.
Because apparently there's a feud with the King Lawler yeah. that will play out later in this.
You called it the coal mine?
The coal mine.
Which I like.
I'm already irritated yeah. at this point between these two. But
it was awful.
Then Edge comes in, and I thought he would have gotten some nice heat if he just kind of walked over the car.
Because mm-hmm.
they left it right there in the middle of the yeah. ramp. He had to walk around it. But I thought maybe they didn't want to pay some money
yeah.
in case he damaged the car. But we get this match started, and... What did you think of this match, sir?
I thought it was put together very well. This was Edge's last match.
Was it really?
Yeah. I believe it was the next night on Raw, he had to retire.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he, like, the next day he got, like, there was something wrong with his back, and then he got it, like, checked out.
Well, it didn't happen in this match.
No,
right?
And it wasn't like, I'm going to retire. It was...
Because they were selling an injury in this match, and I think one of the reasons why this match was good and why most matches are good is that one of the combatants had some injury that they're trying to cover up.
Yes.
Because it gets a lot of heat when someone goes after that.
Mm-hmm.
Edge had a left arm that he had kind of banged up, and so a lot of the match's psychology was built on Del Rio doing mm-hmm. a lot of arm drags, and so I thought that really helped the psychology of this match.
Yeah.
I thought these two worked great together.
Yeah.
I really like how they built this match.
Yeah, there was a lot of great spots in here. Edge went to the top rope, and then Alberto Del Rio did an enziguri off the second rope,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, that's a pretty good. Then there's like... Alberto Del Rio going for his cross arm breaker and everything like that. There was lots of good stuff. Like, he did the code breaker, or basically the code breaker, but he did it to Edge's arm.
Right.
Which are like, oh, that's a pretty sweet
yep.
pretty sweet idea. overall, I very much enjoyed this match.
Well, we had, because I don't like it when there are a lot of people on the outside yes. that don't do anything. So we got some, they had interference at the right time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was a lot of damage being done. Mm-hmm. Edge starts his comeback, and then there was interference from the Del Rio faction, which yeah. that's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, everything made sense in this match.
Yeah. I thought of you when I was watching this. I'm like, ah, it's an interference.
Great. Christian got involved, and so that kind of starts to take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Edge has this thing where he has to overcome the deficit mm-hmm. and, you know, struggle through the pain
yep.
to get the win. I thought this was a really great first match, really yes. well executed match.
I agree. Also, like when Alberto De Rio, I'm sorry, when Brutus Clay mm-hmm. and Christian got involved, like there's some actually pretty good spots of that. You know, like Christian did a DDT off of the apron. I'm like, oh, this
that
is good.
That's
really good. Yeah, and then Edge hits a spear for the win. Like, good stuff.
Yep.
Good match.
Edge is the champion of the world at this point.
Oh, then they go and beat up the car.
That's. Because I was like, well, they don't want to do anything bad to the car. Yeah. And then they go and just start smashing out windows and stuff.
Yeah.
So the thing that I thought they could have extended this feud a little bit, but Alberto Del Rio just sat there and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he looked upset.
Yeah.
But he should have attacked them.
Yeah.
Like, that just kind of keeps the feud going.
Right.
I don't know if they knew that Edge was going to retire the next night, but I was expecting him at the end to sit there and go kick their ass. You're a heel.
Right. But, where's Brutus Clay?
Yeah.
You know, that guy's big.
Yeah, let's go get those guys. But the segment ends with them just kind of beating up a car. And then we go to Michael Cole in the glass box, and he's taunting the King.
Of course.
As I can't wait for that match to be over so we can just get rid of this whole thing.
Yep.
How did that whole thing start? To me, it set a bad precedent for this in that Jerry usually works heel
mm-hmm.
or oblivious idiot.
Yeah. Yep.
He was a completely different character mm-hmm. for this, at least WrestleMania. I don't know about everything leading up to it.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just a different character.
Yeah. Like, Cole, for some reason, became a heel at this point. And, like, he was just making fun of Jerry Lawler. Like, he brought Grandmaster Sexay, who is Lawler's son, and he like brought him out and made fun of him for some reason, and then it like became a whole thing. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. And he was a heel up until Jerry Lawler had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
When Lawler had a heart attack on Raw,
it really softened him.
Yes, Cole was like, Cole had to be like, this is not part of the show. Jerry Lawler is being rushed to the hospital, something like that.
Oh my
so it's
God.
One of those where, like, out of character, like, okay, I'm not an actual asshole. I care about Jerry Lawler.
See, that's just, like, back in the day,
yeah.
they would have just made that an angle. Like, you got to make money off that.
Yeah, right.
Right. Anyway,
yeah,
but
whatever.
Then so we have them bicker back and forth, and then we go right to match number two between
Dashing Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio,
and this is for nothing but pride.
Mm-hmm.
I like this match a lot.
And yeah, good match.
I like that they've given Cody Rhodes a point of view and like a character, because
mm-hmm.
He was wrestling a lot more viciously in this match,
yes.
and he's got some fire to him, and he's I thought his work in this match was really good. They set up this match with some good psychology about, you know, the knee brace to the face, breaking Cody's nose, and now he's wearing this mask. And so they kind of had that little angle
mm-hmm.
to work with, you know, like the spots where he's trying to take off Ray's knee brace and, he's getting revenge. Like, there's a revenge set up for this match.
Yeah, I agree. I loved his character in this one. He was out for vengeance, and mm-hmm. it was like, oh, this is a perfect character. I really very much enjoyed his character work. And then, obviously, there's lots of good stuff because Rey Mysterio knows what to do.
Yeah, lots of really good spots in this match. I always worry for Rey's safety because he's just able to be thrown around. Like, that powerbomb that Cody did on him was pretty intense.
Yes.
It was vicious. And that was a huge bump. Another one I liked was when he got Rey up for that suplex,
mm-hmm.
how long he held him up there on I think he was on the second rope when he did.
Yeah, yep.
But he held Rey up there for a long time, and Rey's just kicking his little legs like he's going to do something. And then another big bump on that. I thought this was – I liked this a lot.
Yeah, there was – and then it finally gets back down to the whole mask thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Rey gets a moonsault off the top. Then he unclips Cody's mask and then gives him a 619. Like, oh, that's, I like that. And then he ended up putting the mask on himself.
I know.
And then he started like doing some flying headbutts on him.
That was really good. Cody was selling that great as well, yes. Making it look like he was just in a ton of pain. But yeah, Ray was doing it a little dirty, like just using the foreign object to get in some extra pain.
Yeah.
And then there was that little thing, but then Rhodey kind of got he took off Ray's knee brace.
Yes.
And he got a really good shot on Ray with
it. Yeah, Ray was going for a suicide dive outside the ropes, and then Cody just smacked him right in the face with the knee brace.
And then he rolls him up for the 1-2-3, and Cody Rhodes gets the win. I really liked this match a lot. It had good psychology. It was executed really well. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that Cody Rhodes is a vicious dude now.
Yeah.
Was he able to capitalize on that after this, or did they switch him straight to Stardust?
No, he was heel for a while, and then he then when the Shield came around, mm-hmm. I think 2012, okay. 2013-ish, him and Goldust were a tag team, and it was like Goldust and Cody against Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns for the tag team championships. They had one of the best matches of that year, and it was amazing. Really, really good match.
Well, I like Cody Rhodes' work a lot.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes is good.
He's really fantastic. We continue with the Cole King setup for their match. They're bickering back and forth, blah, blah, blah. And then we go to the back where Snoop Dogg is talking to Teddy Long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have some superstars audition for Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Which is a
perfect
thing.
Exactly what we wanted to see.
Right, because I was thinking, hey, you know what we haven't seen?
William Regal rap.
Yeah, so Regal raps, and then the great Khali sings Summer Loving.
With Beth Phoenix. Zack Ryder gets hit in the head with a coconut by Roddy Piper.
Right, yeah. Which I'm glad that Hot Rod got a little paycheck out of this. Yeah. Good to see old Hot Rod. There was another one, and I don't even know who that was.
There was Chris Masters and Yoshitatsu.
There you go. And he's doing We Will Rock You on his pecs.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
and then it ends up with Hornswoggle. I don't know. It was an interesting little segment.
Yeah.
A little brief comedy bit, and then we go right to match number three, which is between
The Core, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, Ezekiel Jackson, and Wade Barrett versus Kane, The Big Show, Santino Marella, and Kofi Kingston.
And this is about a 2-minute match that lets a bunch of dudes get a paycheck.
Yep.
And I miss Santino.
Yeah.
I like him so much. He makes me laugh. He did the speed walking to the ring.
I love that move. So good.
I miss him. I'm just going to go watch a lot of his bits on YouTube. Because he
was in, I think it was the 2011 Royal Rumble. He like runs down to the ring. He's like, "Yah!" And then as soon as he gets in, Kane throws him over the top. So 1 second. And then when he's outside the ring, he goes, I wasn't ready. And then he's like, I'm going back in. And then the ref's like, no, you go.
Why did he leave? I miss him.
I'm not sure. I believe he's retired. But
no.
Yeah.
No, he's so good.
He's hilarious. He's very
basically
funny.
This entire match was everybody getting set up to do their one spot.
Yep.
It was in a row. It was,
yes,
you do this, and then you do this, which knocks this guy down, and then they come in and do that, and then the Big Show just ends it with a big punch.
Yeah, he just knocks out Heath Slater.
And then he covers him for the 1-2-3, and everyone has a paycheck, everyone's happy, and we all went to the bathroom, and now we're ready to continue on with this. And then we go to the back where Rock is congratulating Eve on being the Diva Champ,
mm-hmm.
and Rock talks about how he's really great at creating magical moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's talking about like the next person that comes up behind him, he's going to create a magical moment with him. And then cue Mae Young.
I think Mae Young is up there with Bob Uecker for me.
No, really?
Yeah. I don't like these bits.
Is it because they're not funny or because they make you uncomfortable?
I'm going to say it's half and half.
Half and half.
Yeah.
Well, they do that because she wants to smell what the Rock is cooking. And she makes other lewd comments.
The people's strudel.
Yep. She wants the strudel, which, that is creepy.
Yeah. See?
And so Eve escorts her off, mm-hmm. and then Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up.
Man.
And they have a nice little stare down, and we're remembering WrestleMania 19, and then that leads to nothing.
Well, man, I've done that, like, just the Austin's glare has so much behind it.
Yeah,
like he's just standing there and like, oh wow, I want to see this. Right. Like I've seen it a dozen times before,
right.
And there's nothing set up behind it. But like it was the same thing like when he went eye to eye with Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania 20, like, oh shit, here we go.
Because he looks at you like, I'm about to kick your ass.
Yeah.
It may or may not happen, but that's what he knows it's a complete work, but he still just goes to that place where I'm going to kick your ass right now.
Yeah, I love it.
That was a good moment. Mm-hmm. But right after that, we go to match number four, which is between
CM Punk versus Randy Orton.
Randy Orton got a really nice face pop.
Yeah.
Which, because of the way they've been building him. I was surprised that he was kind of made a face turn at this point, mm-hmm. probably because he was against Punk at this time, who was really heavy heel.
Yeah, Punk's at this one. Super, super heel.
What did you think of this match, sir?
I liked it. I thought it was a good match. I remember enjoying it. I thought I liked Cody Rhodes versus Mysterio better.
Yeah.
This had some very good stuff built into it. Mostly going after like working on the knee.
Yeah, again, it's the work on the body part.
Yes,
And so you know, Punk went to work on the leg. There was one spot where Orton was just hanging from the turnbuckle, mm-hmm. and Punk climbed the rope to stand on top of the same turnbuckle that he was hanging from.
Yeah,
and then just does a knee drop on him. I hadn't seen that before. Yeah, that was pretty vicious.
Yep.
But a lot of this match was Orton just having to overcome this knee that was, you know, that Punk was just killing, which I kind of like. This match, I thought, ramped up really nicely.
Yes.
Punk got Orton in a submission hold. I don't know the name of the submission hold because I hadn't seen it before.
The Anaconda Vice. Is it the one where he's like,
yeah, that's
his
it.
Head?
Yep. That is it, the Anaconda Vice. And then, you know, Orton, does that thing where it's strong. I think that builds nice drama in a match where they're in the middle and they have to struggle for the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Orton gets out of that. He kind of went into this thing where he went for the punt, mm-hmm. but his leg gave out, which that's great. Like that actually sold that whole thing had been working.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I thought that was a good move.
And then it perfectly, because, you know, Punk sees that and he's laughing like, oh, I got this guy now. So he goes in for the kill and then it's RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Which,
huge pop for that too.
Yeah. I liked how they set this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Punk went for the springboard off the top rope and then RKO out of nowhere was great. There was also a spot in here where Punk did the figure four around the ring post, which I think is always a good spot. I remember, I think Bret Hart did it to Austin during their feud. And like, that's a solid spot.
Right.
And, like that's a way to make that move. Like, oh wow, this is going to hurt him a lot more. I don't know if it actually does. Probably not. But
well, no, I should note that in that setup where Punk went in for the kill, he did slip the RKO.
Yeah, right before he did slip it. Yeah,
I say that because it, you know, it's set up again where he's damaged Randy even more. Then he goes for the flying headbutt off the top rope, and then Randy does get the RKO.
Yes,
so it wasn't like he survived two RKOs.
Yeah.
And I like that because we see some matches later on in this where it's like we do the finishing move several times, and I like this way better.
Yes.
I like it when the finisher puts someone out.
Yeah, you see it once and that's it.
And I thought the way they did this at the end was great, and the execution of that flying headbutt into the arc. I don't know how Randy does it.
Mm-hmm.
He measures him perfectly.
Yeah.
Because we saw it with Rollins at 31 last year.
Yeah.
He just has this instinct of where to be because it looks great every time.
Yeah, and his against Evan Bourne, I think it was just on a Raw, but he was doing a shooting star press and he gets up perfect timing, puts him out with an RKO. I'm like, how?
Right.
How are you there at the bright time every time?
I really like how they were able to build this match with the psychology of the leg and not have to use a bunch of finishing moves to amp up the drama in this. We basically had one finishing move. Did Punk even get to do the go to sleep?
No.
No, he slipped it.
Yeah, he set up for it once.
So what I'm saying, like, this was a 15-minute match, and we didn't have to overcome a bunch of finishing moves.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see the setup for them.
Yes.
But I like how they did this while protecting the finishing moves.
Yes, absolutely. The psychology was there without having it to be, oh, man, we slipped the finish. Like, like he gave me the RKO, but I still kicked out of it. No, he gave you one RKO because that's all it takes.
Yep. I like that a lot. So well done to these two. Really great match between two really good hands.
Yes.
We go to Mean Gene in the back with The Rock, and they're having a conversation about Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Where did the heat between The Rock and Cena come in?
When Rock was announced as guest host, he came out and he cut a promo on The Miz and John Cena.
Okay, so it just started.
And he's just like, I don't like you.
I just don't like him.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like John Cena.
So there wasn't like any impetus or anything?
No, he's like, I just don't like him. Like, don't... you come out here in your Fruity Pebbles t-shirts, you can't see me. And then he just makes fun of him.
But Mean Gene lets The Rock know that he's about to be confronted by John Cena's number one fan.
Yep.
And as The Rock turns around, it's not Mae Young this time, which is great for Jue.
Yep.
It is Pee Wee Herman. How does that sit with Jue?
It wasn't as funny. I mean, it wasn't that funny, but I'm okay with it.
And then it goes into a little back and forth between Pee Wee Herman and The Rock, which is, you know, subjective. Yeah. Enjoy if you like, enjoy if you, or hate if you don't. Yep. And then we go right to the ring where the Fink is announcing the Hall of Fame inductees for this year. We have Abdullah the Butcher. We've got Sonny. We've got the Road Warriors. Drew Carey. Why?
Around this time they started doing, or I think the previous year they started doing the celebrity wing.
Yeah, but I don't remember Drew Carey's involvement at all with WrestleMania. Or the WWE.
Yeah, remember Kane gave him no, I think that might have been
that was
the
Pete
Royal
Rose, right?
That was Pete Rose. Oh no, Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble one
was
year.
He?
Yeah, Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble one year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Drew.
Yeah.
Well, job well done. We also have Bob Armstrong, Hacksaw Jim Duncan, and the Heartbreak Kid, the main event, the showstopper, Mr. WrestleMania,
yes.
Shawn Michaels. And he got a really great reception, which is good.
As he should.
He didn't do the whole bit that Stone Cold did last year of, you know, taking his own spot, which I kind of prefer. Although, you know, Stone Cold deserves it. But I do like that he just kind of stayed on stage with the rest of the Hall of Fame inductees and didn't try and single himself out in any way.
Which is interesting because Shawn Michaels is known
True.
For that.
He's not.
Everybody get off the stage.
Right.
Gotten better.
I thought it was interesting that Sonny was in the same class.
Yeah.
Interesting. It was whatever.
Yeah.
Nice to see those two clandestine lovers meeting again in an awkward situation. But a really great class again. Good to see the Heartbreak Kid getting in so quickly.
Yes. First ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot Hall of Famer. And then we go right to match number five, which is between
Michael Cole with Jack Swagger versus Jerry the King Lawler.
And we're finally getting this match over, which, good. But they announced some special announcers for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one announced is Booker T, who gets a nice response in Atlanta. And then Our good friend JR.
White meat babyface from Norman, Oklahoma.
That's right. That that marching band kicks up and good old JR comes down the ramp and he got a nice reception.
He did.
Especially for me on the couch because I'm so glad that JR is here.
Yeah.
But these guys are calling this match and then Michael Cole comes down the ring and he's cutting a promo on JR.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he doesn't have enough heat at this point. He needs more heat.
Yep.
And so he's cutting a promo on JR and the King and anyone that will listen. Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up in a four-wheeler.
Almost runs over Jack Swagger.
Yes. To a somewhat subdued reaction, I was expecting his pop to be a little bit bigger. But everybody's tired of the Stone Cold gimmick at this time. I don't know. I was just expecting a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it wasn't as big as I expected either.
Yeah. Odd that this is the King's very first match at WrestleMania, I guess.
Yeah, it was his first one. And they give him again Michael Cole.
You know what? To his credit, he looked great. Like, not that he was ever like the super Adonis body, but for an aged man, I thought he looked fine.
Yeah,
and like because we had seen, I guess was it last year with the Legends group that were only
2 years ago.
We're only the Dragon kind of maintained.
Yeah, yep.
It was nice to see because the King looked very very regal and had a wonderful. Well-deserved entrance into a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure he was still active in the ring, just like in his own territory down in Memphis, like because he still owns.
Does he really?
I'm pretty sure he does. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, he's still he was still active wrestling at this point.
Right. So we have basically the King attacking Jack Swagger, you know, because Cole is hiding in the booth.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of the move. Like. You come out talking a bunch of shit, and then you go hide.
Right.
Which, I understand you're the chicken shit heel.
Of course.
But you know you're going to have to fight eventually.
Right. You signed up for this.
They do this bit where apparently there's a hole cut in the box where he tries to shake Jerry's hand through. Jerry goes for the handshake and then just starts ramming his face into
as he
the.
Does. Yep.
Then the king climbs into the box and just starts beating the shit out of him in the box.
Mm-hmm.
They finally get it into the ring, where they did some wrestling stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought it was odd. The king just no-sold, like no. I don't know the past tense. No sold everything. Like he just. In fact, it looked like he was just trying to tell Cole what to do. Like, get my leg.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He looked really bored at this point.
I would imagine because like I said, he was inactive. He was still active wrestling at this point. So like, it's almost a mockery of his 40 years in the business.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man, I'm better than this.
Well, yeah, and so my question is why. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I don't get it either. Like, maybe this is the only way that they could have. It's not true. Like,
this make Cole more of a heel at the end? Like, how does this move us forward?
Right. You know what I mean? I don't think it necessarily does. But like,
or does this resolve anything?
No.
Those are the only two reasons to really do something.
Yeah.
Move it forward, or this is the king's revenge.
Yes.
Like, which it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I feel like if they really wanted to give Lawler a match, put him against Jericho 2 years ago. If Lawler versus Jericho, that would have been a pretty good match. And like I enjoyed seeing Steamboat.
Right.
But Lawler would have been able to have a good match with Jericho. Yeah. And
he did a dropkick.
Yeah.
That was a great dropkick.
He knows what he's doing. Like he has the Memphis style down because I mean he is Memphis.
He drop kicks. He's standing drop kick in the middle of the ring on Cole, mm-hmm. and then does the you know he takes the strap off and does the from the second rope the diving knuckle to the face or whatever. I don't know what he calls that move.
Diving knuckle to the face probably.
But, you know his usual go home spot right.
Yep. Yep.
And then basically he just makes. Michael Cole submit to an ankle lock.
That was my favorite because as soon as it was put on, Michael Cole starts tapping, and then Austin's like, "Do you quit? Do you give up?"
Austin was very biased in this one.
Because
Swagger threw in
the towel
at one point, and then Austin just picks it up, wipes his head, and throws it back. Some good comedy, but. This was a giant kind of waste of time.
Yeah.
They celebrate in the middle of the ring, and then, Jerry the King Lawler and Stone Cold do the patented Stone Cold beer drink.
Yeah.
Booker T gets in to celebrate a little bit.
It's, I gotta get in on this.
Right. And, so, of course, you know, Stone Cold's gotta get a stunner in, so...
Of course.
Booker T takes a big swig of beer, and then Stone Cold stuns him and sprays beer. I like that.
Yeah.
I like how Booker T sprayed the beer out of his mouth as he took the stunner.
Yeah.
But then we get apparently it's a thing now where there's a secret commissioner of Raw.
Yep. The anonymous Raw general manager.
And so we get an email that has the Apple text sound.
Yeah.
And so they go to read what the email says. And the email says that that Cole is the winner and Jerry the King has been disqualified.
Yes, because Austin overstepped his boundaries.
So Michael Cole is the winner.
Yes. So Michael Cole has the new streak because
he's
1-0. He's not lost to WrestleMania.
So after this very disappointing match, we go to footage of Access. And then we do a little Triple H Undertaker promo, and then we go to match number 6, which is between
Triple H versus The Undertaker.
This is a no holds barred match for nothing but pride. These two have done everything there is in WWE, and this is the only thing left. It's the streak or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Really long intros, of course.
Of course.
The stare down in the middle of the ring. And the only good thing to come out of the Michael Cole, Jerry, the King Lawler match is that JR is doing the announcing for
JR
this.
Yeah, JR stuck around.
That is fantastic. Both these guys get a dominant spot in early, so you know they've clearly established that they're both of the substance for this match. So yeah. Like, hey, I can kick your ass. Yeah, you can kick my ass too. Yeah. So, and then it starts to play out. What did you think about how, because this is a 30-minute match. These guys got to go a long time. What did you think of kind of the build of this match?
I thought it was pretty good. It started out kind of slow, picked up the pace, and then towards the end, I felt like they were just doing too much of mirroring from 26.
Yeah. The build of this, because again, like they both got their little dominant spot early, and then they both started to inflict kind of some, or what was, it looked like they were trying to do a big damage move. Because they, you know, Triple H threw Taker through the box, through the glass, the plexiglass box, which was supposed to be his big damage move. Mm-hmm. And then Triple H was setting Undertaker up for a pedigree on the announcer table, and then Taker flipped him off.
Yes.
Not with his fingers, like flipped him over his back, and back he landed on the ground, which was the big move. Because there wasn't a pin for a long time in this match.
Right.
Which is fine because you know they were both, you know, it's a grudge match. They're trying to inflict a lot of damage. Totally cool, but I don't think there was enough damage done in the early part of this match to kind of build for, because there were so many false finishes later in this match.
Yeah, there was. Yeah,
which, like to me, the pathology would be like, oh, these guys have been through so much to finally get a pin, finally, you know, and then they were kicking out of these finishing moves. Like, to me, there was, like, it was just one big damage move instead of, man, I'm ramming you into through tables. And, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we went into this spot where and it, maybe explain this to me, because I was confused with the story they were trying to tell here.
Okay.
It looks like they're trying to put Undertaker through a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many things that happened. A lot of pedigrees.
Yes.
A lot of chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Or not multiple chair shots.
Yeah. Yep.
But I didn't understand. I understand having him kick out of a lot of pedigrees. But then there was a segment in this match where he gets hit with Taker gets hit with a lot of chairs and no pin.
Yeah.
Like the whole point of view for Triple H's character is that I want to break the streak. Well, we've now done everything necessary to put him in a position to win, and then we're not taking advantage of it.
Yeah, the only thing I can figure is, like, they did have a rematch at WrestleMania 28.
Okay.
So the only thing I can figure is that this was just a setup to 28. So, like, everything that they were doing in this match was to set up 28. So having Triple H beat up on the Taker for so long at the end, beating him up, grabbing the sledgehammer, not being able to use it, hitting him with chairs, hitting him with multiple pedigrees. This as a standalone match doesn't make sense psychologically in my mind, storytelling wise. If you combine it as a lead into 28, I think it makes more sense.
So having this as kind of a build match so that they could go, so that the promos are this.
Yeah.
I put you through hell and you still wouldn't die.
Exactly.
And I, you know, you gave me everything you got. You don't got enough to beat me.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Exactly. Because what they ended up using is, like, Triple H tapped out at the end of this to Hell's Gate, and then he walked out on his own.
Yeah.
Undertaker had to get carted off.
Yeah.
So Triple H was like, I walked out of WrestleMania 27. You did not walk out. Like, you may have won, but you didn't walk out.
Yeah. That's because it seemed like they were in this mode of building to the next WrestleMania because of the we didn't know at the time, but the Rock had signed up for the next three WrestleManias, with the goal being to put Cena over the top forever, right? So we start the feud, we beat him in the next one, and then we pass the torch in 29, which is great. So we're doing a lot of forward thinking now. I'm just saying, like, the buildup for this match was the most important thing to me in the world as Triple H is breaking the streak.
Yes.
That's not how I wrestled.
Right.
I
completely agree.
So, that makes sense now that you're saying the execution of this match was so that they could sell the next WrestleMania.
That's what I think.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the thing that didn't make sense to me was, I'm not wrestling like I talked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to hit you with 8 chair shots and 4 pedigrees, but that's it.
Well, and do all that and then don't go, stay down.
Yeah.
And not pin you.
Yeah.
Pin you and let's get the win.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Undertaker goes 19-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was a really good match.
It was a good match, yes.
This match is well regarded by the wrestling community. I didn't think it was the 9.5 out of 10 stars that some people put it.
Me neither.
But don't get me wrong, really great match, probably best match on the card. But I don't put it in that big classic only because I didn't think the psychology matched up.
Right,
but
I agree.
That was my thing.
Yeah.
After this one, again, like Joy said, Taker is carried on a stretcher, and then we start the next one. We go to match number 7, which is between
Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool of Layla and Michelle McCool with Vicky Guerrero versus John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Nicole Snooki Polizzi.
Okay, I know some people in this.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know all of them.
Okay.
Now Vicky Guerrero comes out and she's doing her very irritating "excuse me" bit.
Yep.
And that can stop at any time. And then I did not know Lay Cool. I didn't know either of these ladies with WWE still?
No.
No?
Layla retired, I think, last year, the year before. Michelle McCool is actually married to The Undertaker.
Oh, well, good for her.
Yeah.
Well done.
And good for him.
And she's a very beautiful lady. Yeah. I kind of was hoping for just a match between John Morrison and Dolph Ziggler.
I think that would have been great.
I thought they did a good job in this match. I mean, this was like just a 3-minute match, a little bit. It was to highlight, and I didn't, when I read the name Nicole Polizzi, I did not know that was Snooki.
Yeah.
So when I saw her walk out, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
We just had a gimmick match, and now we've got the really bad gimmick match.
Snooki from the Jersey Shore.
I was impressed with her.
Yeah.
That backspring, double backspring elbow was really great.
That was actually, I'm impressed by that too.
And then she did like the little cartwheel into the splash.
Yep.
She gets the win in this one, but from all the celebrity involvement that we've had, it is not the worst.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not the worst.
To me, she wrestled better than Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
That's just my feeling.
I can agree with that. I want to make note. She did get the win, but the mat was stained with their makeup and self tanner. It was like
a lot of smudges.
There were just smudge, like orange smudges all over the place because of the tanner / makeup.
I want to ask you a question because I thought there was a potential botch in this one. Michelle and Trish did a lot of the wrestling in this match because I think Dolph and John just got one little spot.
Mm-hmm.
But when Michelle and Trish were on the top rope on the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And they fell to the floor?
Yeah.
Was that on purpose? Because it looked like they just lost their balance and fell to the floor.
I thought that it was a botch until John Morrison did Starship Pain off the top rope to the outside.
Okay.
And like, okay, maybe it was planned. Or maybe John Morrison and Dolph Ziggler are really good and they covered for him.
I'm going to go with that one because it really did. It looked like they kind of had an oh shit moment. But that move because I didn't even know what to call it. I just put Morrison does a badass move on Dolph because that was great. Yeah. Can they get him back? Because I like him very much.
Just watch Lucha Underground, man.
I don't know what that means. But anyway, for a gimmick match, this was the right amount of time and the good spotlight and execution of the person that does not have the skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, what can you do? Oh, I have a limited skill. Okay, let's highlight that and let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but I didn't hate it at all.
There you go.
That was really good. We go from that one right to match number 8, which is between
The Miz with Alex Riley versus John Cena.
There was a little bit of a buildup, maybe because they had to get the self-tanner and the makeup off the mat, but each wrestler had their own kind of individual video promo montage leading up to their entrance. The Miz comes in first, and they have like his big video talking about his life and times. And then we do the same with Cena, who also had an Atlanta gospel choir to bring him in, which is fine. And then we get to this match. And what did you think about this match, sir?
It was okay. As most John Cena matches are, if John Cena is the most capable man in the ring, then the matches are okay.
Yeah.
If he's wrestling somebody better than him, then he can punch up into it. What is that? What do they say? What's that phrase? Punch out of your weight class? Something like that.
Right.
I think John's good at punching out of his weight class, but he's not good when he's the lead dog in a match.
The Miz had to carry this match in this way. And we talked about it earlier. Like, is he ready for this? I thought he did a fine job.
Yeah, I think this, so too.
Because he had to be the aggressive, badass heel that's just kind of dirty and doing anything it takes to win.
Yes.
My problem, and this is my constant problem with Cena, is that you'll beat him, he'll look down, and then he has this burst of energy.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Like, his comebacks are, it's not just like, eye gouge to the face and then work your way up to a big move. It's, my comeback is immediate, and it's one of the biggest moves that I have. So I've just been, you know, beaten down. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I'm hurting. And then I'm going to climb to the top rope and do
a leg drop.
I mean,
it's bad.
It makes no sense to me.
No, he doesn't know how to, like, the psychology of his comebacks don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I have it. He's like, 1 minute Cena's selling a concussion, and then the next minute he's doing his five moves of doom, which is like the finishing five moves that he does.
Yeah.
Call him five moves of doom. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's not right. Like, that's not how you sell it.
I thought The Miz did a really good job in this one, and it was just kind of seen as usual.
Yes.
They did have – this is where I think them having a Southern crowd may have worked, because they did a segment in this match with the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
They take the turnbuckle off.
Yes.
Right? The ref gets kind of knocked down. Alex goes and runs Cena's head into the –
Exposed turnbuckle.
Miz gets a cover. We only get a two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ref gets knocked out. Cena hits the AA, but the ref's out. So he tries to go over and revive the ref.
Yeah.
And which he can't do. Alex hits Cena in the head with the briefcase.
Yeah.
So now the Miz covers and the ref comes to life.
Of course, just magically.
And gets two. So now we've run him into a turnbuckle for a two count, and we've hit him in the briefcase for a two count.
Yeah.
All to the refs not even recognizing any of this. Then the Miz goes to hit Cena with the briefcase, misses him, hits Alex.
Yep.
The ref sees all of that.
Yep.
And actually, as the briefcase falls, he kind of kicks the briefcase. So he's very aware of a briefcase at this point.
Yes.
Kind of a, to me, it's a kind of a botch. Mm-hmm. But then
there was an attitude adjustment for another two.
So we've just had this huge kind of schmoz with foreign objects, and because usually that's an end of a match.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how The Miz retains the title with heat.
Yes.
You know, but we've kicked out of all of this.
Yeah.
Fight spills on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Cena throws them over a couple barricades, and now both men are passed out.
Yeah.
And they both get countered out.
If want to make note of this, when the second barricade that they went over, Miz got a legitimate concussion.
Oh, he did.
He smacked his head on the concrete and he got a legitimate concussion. They say in interviews he does not remember the rest of this match.
Good, because it was shit.
Yeah. Yep.
So both men are, and for doing that, For knocking him over two barricades, Cena is also knocked out.
Yep.
Which makes no sense.
Cena doesn't understand it.
There have been no countouts at all in this match, but they both get counted out.
Mm-hmm.
The match is ruled a draw. The Miz keeps his title.
Yep.
Which is just a kind of a weak finish for a match. Fortunately, it's not over because we have to highlight The Rock.
Of course.
And then The Rock comes down. They get an email from the Raw.
Raw General Manager.
The Raw ignores it and says, we're restarting this sumbitch.
Yeah.
And we're not ending WrestleMania like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they restart the match. Cena goes for an AA. The Miz kind of slips it. And then The Rock rock bottoms Cena.
Yep.
And The Miz covers him for three.
Yep. Of course.
Why? What? What's going on at the WrestleMania?
It's like they don't give enough credit to The Miz and John Cena. So they're like, okay, well, we need The Rock to save this, which, I mean, The Rock was more over than either of those two, right. So that makes sense. But it's like, you're just not giving enough credit to enough people. Like, tell the story, tell the correct story. Like, with the two people you have, you can tell a good story with anybody if you know, if you're doing it properly.
They use this WrestleMania to set up the next WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which is a discredit to the current WrestleMania.
Yes, exactly. You should be working the one that you have.
Yeah. So the end of this match was strictly to build the reason for those two to fight in the next one. You cost me the title.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get, and it's fine, but that's for the pay-per-view prior to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, this one will always stick out as pre-WrestleMania 28.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the prequel. This is not WrestleMania 27. This is the prequel to 28.
Yep. And so this one ends with The Rock just standing on turnbuckles and raising his arm in the air as the man that just blindsided Cena to cost him the championship.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go to the awards. Yeah. Wade, what is your pop of the night?
My pop of the night is going for the RKO out of nowhere.
That was pretty great.
Really good pop.
I'm going to go for The Rock at the beginning, although I didn't agree with it. They announced The Rock.
All right.
And he got a really big pop. My botch of the night was Trish and Michelle falling off the top rope, because I legit think that was a botch. What is your botch of the night?
My botch of the night is Scott Armstrong, the referee, his cadence during the Triple H versus Undertaker match.
Say that again?
Scott Armstrong, the referee.
Right.
He for the Triple H Undertaker match, his cadence when he counts.
Okay.
He has the slowest count ever. It is bad.
That is you're being really ticky tacky on
that.
Yeah,
it's a really slow count.
What is your bump of the night, sir?
Bump of the night: Triple H putting the Undertaker through the table with a spinebuster.
That was pretty good. The one I'm giving may not have hurt that much, but it looked difficult to pull off, and so I'm just going to give it to it. But it was Orton hanging from the turnbuckle and CM Punk doing the knee drop.
Oh, yep.
That looked pretty good. My spot of the night is Orton not being able to execute the punt because his leg goes out, and then kind of setting up CM Punk to kind of bring him in, the Viper.
Yeah.
And then going for the RKO unsuccessfully, but I kind of liked
the way
they set up that little move. What is your spot of the night, sir?
My spot of the night is Austin asking Michael Cole if he quits.
That was really good.
That was a really good spot.
He let him tap for a little bit. That was really great.
Yeah.
What is your worst match of the night, sir?
Cole Lawler.
Yes, I agree completely. What a complete waste of time. But the uptick on that is we got JR the rest of the way, and Michael Cole is gone. My best of the match of the night is Taker versus Triple H. What is yours?
Me too. Same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. But I will note that there were a lot of really good matches on this one. I thought Edge, the Edge Alberto Del Rio match was very good. I thought the Rey Mysterio match was really good. Like, a lot of the undercard. This wasn't just a one-match WrestleMania. I thought this was they were built with psychology, and they were executed really well. So
I agree.
Overall, I thought this was a really good pay-per-view from a card perspective. Jue,
yes.
Who is your MVP for WrestleMania 27?
My MVP, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Why?
I loved his refereeing. It was so much fun for me.
That little segment.
That little segment. Thing. That's all I needed.
This entire WrestleMania was built around The Rock. You completely utilized The Rock. And so even though I may not have liked all of his performances, I give my MVP to The Rock.
I like it.
Well, that is all the time that we have for Mania Mania 27. Please join us next time for Mania Mania 28, when we have pretty much the same card as Mania Mania 27. But we've got Kane versus Randy Orton. We've got The Big Show versus Cody Rhodes. Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. We've got CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. And then our main event is The Rock versus John Cena. But until then, I have been Terry the Viper Catlett. And here, as always, with Alberto Del Rio's personal announcer, Jue Holt.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.